Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 5, we were talking about the difference between sin done in ignorance and deliberate sin. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
People pay $100 an hour for some man with some letters after his name to listen to them about their problems. When you can go to the Almighty God, the all-knowing one, the all-powerful one who can do something about it, and it doesn't cost you a penny. And all you have to do is follow what he says in his word, his counsel. Yes, he is so full of compassion. And his compassion on the ignorant. Now, ignorant is also an interesting word here. It is defined as to err, to commit fault arising from a want of discernment or a lack of discernment. The idea is that the conduct is wrong, but may not be regarded as deliberately sinning against God. Let me give you an example. Here are a couple teenagers. One is raised in a Christian home. He's a rebellious teenager. He drinks, and he knows it's wrong, but he does it anyway. Well, what is that? That is presumptuous sin. But there is one who is raised in a home, let's just say in Europe. Their family drank wine with their meals and served it with no thought of right or wrong. He drinks it, and he thinks nothing of it. Now, a priest must be moderate and tender toward the ignorant. In this society in which we live today, there is an anything-goes attitude. Things that were called sin just a few years ago, now people laugh when you say, well, that's sin. I mean, it was less than 100 years ago that alcohol was pretty well outlawed. Now, they think it's funny that anybody would think that you shouldn't drink, at least socially. There are even some now fundamental colleges trying to write books and say, well, it's not really wrong to social drink. Well, my friend, wine is still a mocker. Strong drink is still raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is still not wise. And that passage doesn't say that wine is a mocker if you get drunk on it. Strong drink is raging if you get drunk on it. Doesn't say that. It just talks about wine and strong drink itself. And so if you're deceived by that, you're going to tell yourself it's all right. As long as I'm moderate, it's okay. You're wrong. But you see, many times people are ignorant. They don't know things are sin. And that's why it's so necessary that we preach the Word, and we preach from the Word God's holiness, and we're able to show, yes, man is in sin. The Old Testament law showed that all have sinned. The Old Testament law didn't save anybody. It showed them they needed a Savior. Now, the word here is ignorant. It's here to teach us that there are things of which we are ignorant, that are sinful and defiling. You see, my friend, God sees evil where men do not. His test of purity is much more strict than ours. And we must remember, He is the judge. Now, some people, they like to think in terms of partial surrender. And my friend, that hurts because it prevents peace. It prevents the total joy and reward that Lord would have for you. It's kind of like Ananias and Sapphira. They gave a large portion of what they sold the land for. But they lied and said, oh, that was the total amount, kept back part from themselves. And God struck them dead for the way they had corrupted this thing of giving. And so, again, God's purity, His test, is so much more strict than ours, and He is the judge. Now, notice also the compassion on those who are out of the way. Now, the way of righteousness, holiness, and godly obedience, I believe, is what we're talking about here, as them that are out of the way, here in Hebrews 5, verse 12. This compassion seeks to restore people. Discipline should always, always, always be administered in love. Our purpose in discipline is not to get people disciplined. Our purpose is to bring people back to repentance. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 through 11, we read this, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son." That scourgeth means He beats them with a whip. Scourgeth, flogs them with a whip, every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? In other words, you don't spank the neighbor's kids, you spank your own children. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But He, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Understand, the chastening hand of God, the scourging of God, is not to get us punished. It is that we might be cleansed, turned to Him for cleansing, that we might be partakers of His holiness. So He goes on to say in verse 11 of Hebrews 12, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So often, people have ideas that psychology, and they even call it Christian psychology, is placed in their mind. I had one in the church one time that a couple, a young lady had gotten pregnant. They came forward to ask God for forgiveness at the altar, and I told the church, "This couple's coming for forgiveness of sin and wants you to forgive them." And I said, "They're going to go ahead and get married and do the right thing." Well, somebody else came to me and said, "Well, you know, they should be put out of the church. And then we need to see how they were going to do for a while. Then they need to go through counseling." And so I finally just had to tell them, "Well, look, where do you read that in the Bible? The Bible tells us to restore such a one. When the person repents, restore them." Now, confrontation must always have as a goal restoration and Christ's righteousness. Now, will those people that repent of the sin, that stop the sin, will they all of a sudden become on fire soul winners? Well, you would hope they would. But really, The idea is to correct the wrong in chastening. Sometimes we expect those people to become what we are in ourselves. So this is the greatness of Christ. Jesus Christ was impeccable. That is, he could not sin. And yet, he was a man tempted in all points like as we are. Yet he lived on earth as a man. He fully understands. And he has compassion. That's why we read verse 3, by reason hereof, he ought as for other, for the people, so also in for himself to offer for sins. And that's what a priest did in the Old Testament day. The high priest was taken from under the Levitical priesthood, but he could sympathize with man because he too had weaknesses and infirmities. But he only felt the part of man. He only felt the man part of his office, not the God part. Only Jesus Christ, the great high priest of eternity, can feel both the man part and the God part. He could not feel the God part, that is, the high priest of the Old Testament era, because he was not holy as God is. Why? Because he was not as Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He could feel man's weakness and infirmities. Why? Because he also had weaknesses and infirmities. He could understand the imperfections and failures of others because he also had imperfections and failures. So this made the Aaronic priesthood less than that of the priesthood of Christ. Now, one thing to not forget. Moses, whom Hebrews refers to, interceded for the people, although he was hated by the people. And were reminded of Jesus Christ saying, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. We need to learn to have that intercessory spirit. And the only way we have that is allowing Jesus Christ to be all in us. But Jesus was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. He was fully put to the test by Satan and the emissaries of hell. He represents man perfectly to God. Since he's God, he also represents God perfectly to us in this relationship.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks. saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.